Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. We're going to just finish up talking about Knowing God, the series that we've been doing, and I want to just do a quick review and overview of what we've been talking about the past few months, just to, again, draw some lines under some of the really important concepts we've talked about. Questions that are coming in are things that we've often talked about, but they've been so long ago that they may not be in the correct proportion perspective as to how it applies in a particular situation. So we want to look at the whole idea of knowing God, which is what we're really talking about. The series that I wrote in book form, in which this ministry is based on, of course we go outside of those three book areas, but we're talking about practical Christianity, getting healed, and knowing God. The whole idea is that our relationship with God is an objective one. It's not based on just feeling or just learning, but it's based on experience. That you and I can know God's love for us. It's not knowing about Him. It's not knowing what He teaches or says or when the end times are or what our purpose is. The knowing is experiencing God and His love for us, His nature in us. So, again, it's about relationship. And we always come back to how do we develop a relationship with God? And it always comes back to cultivating quietness, developing that soulical silence so that our spirit can relay to our awareness what is already going on in the spiritual realm. Okay, there is so much going on right now. Wars are being fought in the supernatural realm, maybe even in your own household. Because you have learned to only develop your natural senses and very few of your soulical senses, let alone your spiritual ones, you have no idea of what is going on in your household right now, in your life, in your community, in your workplace, let alone in your country, this world, or the time you live in. And yet, in your spirit, if you have been born again, you already know not only all about the war, but who's going to win, what it's going to look like, what you are learning from it, everything about it, why God purposed that particular conflict. And part of this is always, you know, often comes back to, and we get have a lot of questions and concerns about this, is God losing? You know, and of course He can't lose, so we turn ourselves and our beliefs into pretzels, trying to come up with a way to make the devil stronger than God because God chooses to let him be stronger and win. And this is the links we will go to in order to say, come right out and say, that God created the devil. That God created good and evil for us. To say that, okay, are we saying God is evil? He is evil just as much as he is good. Neither one of those things are his basic nature. But an expression, since everything is within him. Let's think about, let's say, the Ebola virus. Where did that come from? It came from God. When we talk about, you know, the bubonic plague, when we talk about earthquakes, where'd they come from? They came from God. Now, we don't like to say that because they are destructive and people die, and it's not right and fair that a loving God would allow that. Where did Hitler come from? God purposed Hitler. Just because we can't understand how he could allow that to happen, regardless of whether it's a man, a natural event, or a bacteria, or a virus. God did that. He didn't just allow things. He purposes things. We think, okay, he allows things by standing back and watching them happen. But that virus exists because God wills it to exist. Hitler existed because God willed him, created him, developed him, hardened him to exist. I always think back to the story of Moses and the Pharaoh, where the Pharaoh was ready to let the people go. But God hadn't finished what he wanted to do. So Pharaoh, he was like, okay, I'm ready to let your people go, Moses. Come take them. God said, not so fast. And he hardened Moses' heart. He made the Pharaoh even more cruel. God did that because he wanted to accomplish his purpose. That wasn't the Pharaoh's idea. God hardened his heart against the Jews in order to accomplish his purpose. Now, we're not going to dwell too long on that, but think of that. What changes in our thinking, in our beliefs, when we start to accept that all things were created by God? All things are created by God. Of course, then we have to deal with the whole, devil, the war in heaven and all that, story, and the different versions that have come out of that interpretation of a scripture or two. Again, we won't get into that now, maybe sometime down the road. But when we start accepting that everything in our life is from God. Everything in your household is crafted by God for you. Everything in your country, everything in this world, everything in this time frame is crafted, arranged, determined by God for his purposes. For us, not because we were so bad, we failed him so bad that he had no choice but to let the devil have his way. To me, that would mean that God was a failure. That mankind is so evil, the church is so weak, that even God couldn't help us. That God set us up. All he gave us to do was these three little things, just for an example. And we were so weak and pathetic, we couldn't even do those three little things. So God had no choice, because he'd said he was going to do certain things unless the church did certain things. And the church was so weak. Now, here's what that leads to, is us thinking that God depends on us, that what we do is in our soul, in our soulish self, in our natural-based self, selfish, trying to do things out of our own strength, out of our own minds, that can sway God as to whether he is going to protect a country or tear it down. To me, again, what that reflects is a small concept of God and an inflated view of what we are capable of. This takes time to start to see how God sees. But once we do, these other things fall into place. And we start realizing that, again, the situation, whatever situation you are in, God has crafted it specifically for you. And you have agreed to it. So if knowing God, the basic root is a foundation based on cultivating a quiet lifestyle, what would the fulfillment of that quiet lifestyle look like on a day-to-day basis? In other words, developing an understanding of practical Christianity, what works? Trial and error, okay, how do we know God? Getting rid of some of the things we thought we knew and starting to learn the truth about God. Dealing with getting healed, dealing with our wounds, our misbeliefs. In a real way, in reality, not just by faith, but in reality. Having that faith fulfilled. So then what is our life for the rest of our lives? Once we have learned how to do these things, what is that quiet lifestyle? It's rooted in confidence. Confidence in our relationship with God and who he is and how much he loves us. And that confidence will be the basis of our relationship. Not only with God, but with others and with ourselves. We will start to let ourselves off the hook where we need to, not hold ourselves to a higher standard than he does, but also be able to take on projects that he assigns that we didn't think we'd ever want to, let alone be able to. Because we know that if he assigns us a project, he will have us ready for whatever is involved in it. So the Christian, you and I, learning to depend on God, confidence of his relationship. When you know where to go to get the answers you need, to get strength, to get the healing you need, then you're willing to take the risks and make the mistakes that come along with the living on this planet. When you know God, you will also know the truth. You will also know the way. And you will experience the life. And by doing that, you will gain even more confidence. How do we have confidence in anything? By experience. How do you have confidence that if you turn a doorknob, the door will open? It's not because somebody's told you, okay, you use the doorknob, you turn the knob, and the door will open. That may be how you started, but first you observed other people turning the knob and the door opening. Then you started doing it. Now you don't even think about it, because you have confidence that you know how to do it. As you start to develop confidence that you know how to hear from God, you know how to go to Him to get healed, you know how to go to Him to get your questions answered, you know how much He loves you, you know how much He is looking out for you, then these things all come into a constantly increasing level of confidence. And that's partially where that rest comes from. And with that confidence comes guidance and instruction. The Christian that is learning to depend on God is consciously and unconsciously led by God. God provides whatever is necessary for each situation, drawing us by creating an ever greater need for guidance and instruction. In other words, the desire for guidance and instruction comes by the need for it, not by the giving of it. God likes to be asked. And we learn appreciation by having our needs fulfilled. When we look back at Adam and Eve, that was part of their problem. That's one of the reasons we needed to go through all this and go through the quote-unquote falling from grace. Before, while they were just living in the garden, they didn't need God because He was always there. There was never any time when He wasn't already meeting their needs. It wasn't until they knew that He withdrew life, spirit life from them, that they actually knew that they had needs. Up until then, they had no needs. They didn't need guidance. They didn't need physical care. They didn't need any instruction or the presence of God because He was always there. He was always guiding and directing and caring. It wasn't until He withdrew that they knew need. And likewise for us, once we start to learn how to get those needs met, we learn more and more and more how to get those needs met. God reveals His heart for us and His heart for others, inspiring an ever-growing hunger and thirst. The more He reveals Himself, the more we want more. God reveals His plans, His purposes, and His heart, giving us rest, direction, and motivation so that we can be in the middle of a war, either losing or winning, and be at perfect peace because we are in Him and with Him. And have that confidence and access to the guidance and the instruction that He provides. When we are living that quiet life, God's purposes are fulfilled. And by quiet, doesn't necessarily mean it's literally quiet. But inside, there's a stillness, an awareness of our relationship with God. Again, could be in the middle of a war, could be in the middle of kids fighting over toys. Middle of a bus ride. Drive home on a busy highway. There's that still rest and quietness within. And God's purposes are fulfilled. When we are dependent on Him and let Him do what He wants through us, joining Him in our spirit, we know that whatever needs to get done will get done. God's plans are endlessly creative, and His strategies are full of mystery, intrigue, and adventure. You know, we look back and we think of all the creative things Jesus did when He was here, the creative ways He healed, the creative ways He taught. And we figure, okay, he healed people, I don't even know what it is, 30 different ways. We then have to pick one of those 30? Or was the example that He set that there is no example to follow other than be taught of the Father as He said He was? So if we accept that God creates opportunity to show off and can do whatever He wants when He wants it, we can be in that attitude of, Lord, what are You doing? Curiosity, asking. And He wants us to be that way. That's why He does it. He hides the treasures. So we will work to find it, not to protect the treasures from us, but to teach us, to stir up our curiosity and our strength and our desire. God wants to be wanted. And those things that He values, He doesn't throw them out before us to be trampled on. For one, He wants us to be able to keep His secrets secret. But He likes to share them with those He knows He can trust. So don't be surprised if, as you develop a quiet life, again, on the inside, that God doesn't show you more and more of His surprises, His mysteries. Regardless of the scale, we can rest and simply enjoy the process. He knows the end from the beginning. And your spirit does too. My spirit does too. We have agreed with Him as to what is going on in our life right now. So if you've got complaints about it, what do? You ask Him, Lord, what do I need to learn here? Are you trying to tell me something? Is there a wound that needs to be healed? Or is this an attack? Do I need to deal with an enemy? Is there interference? And He teaches us what He wants us to learn in any given time, any given opportunity. And that brings us to a life filled with satisfaction. Because we know our needs, whatever they are, have already been met, we are then content in whatever situation God has created for us. God's personal presence ministers to us directly, a assuring and encouraging us, even spilling over to others. We end each day as it is begun, focused on God's love for us and our confidence and assurance of that, and our excitement at His wonderful plans for that day, that week, that month, that year, that life here on this earth. So it comes down to our experience with Him is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience His goodness each day, each hour, each minute has the fullness of what God intends for each of us. Grace and rest and confidence and peace is the inheritance of every believer, everyone who has been born again. That is what God intends for each one of us here on this earth. And in our spirits, we are already experiencing that grace and peace and rest. So again, we look at how that relationship was developed. God knew that without His intervening, through His Son, we could not restore our relationship to Him on our own strength. And He needed us to realize that. He needed us to know that even if we fulfilled every single law, that would not be enough to rebuild that bridge, to restore the relationship between us and God. So He made a way through His Son to pay that price. But you and I have to put that opportunity into action in our lives by learning to wait, learning to hear His voice, learning how to have relationship with a sovereign God. Then when we start to look at the way He expresses Himself, the different way the presence of the Lord manifests to us, where we all know that Jesus, that God is all around us. He's around everybody all the time. But for you and I, we have a personal relationship with God and can experience a personal presence. With that, we begin to become overcomers in our circumstances and in the supernatural realm. This is a real challenge for so many of us, but this is part of our responsibility here on this earth, this duty, to exercise the authority we have already been given. We don't have to take authority. We've already been given it, but we don't know how to exercise it. So God leaves us in these situations so we can learn to live as the spirit beings He created us to be, that you are right now. So we will pick up with some questions and topics next week and then look and see what kind of series we may start again. Thanks for listening, joining us the program today. And if you have any questions, or feedback or topics, just drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio, and that'd be great. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.